Yes, we're back for My Middle Name is Trevor podcast with myself, Tony Nanton, and my co-hosts Nathan Swift and Adrian Specs Prescott. We also have a Spotify playlist, also called My Middle Name is Trevor, and it has all the current stuff we're talking about and old stuff as well. So please subscribe, get involved. Anyway, enjoy the pod.
Before you start go on.
No, go on.
No, leave it. That's a beautiful intro. It's just laughter. It's laughter and joy. I love it. It's so much better than a good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Just laughter and love.
Laughter and love. And that's exactly what, yeah, that's exactly what I need today, because actually, you know what? I've had a good weekend. And before you start about me being out yesterday, that was not planned for me to be out yesterday.
Oh, that old decided, chestnut. I say that. No. You know what? I say that when I don't want to do stuff with people. Oh, you know what? It was last minute, mate.
No, I've got no money. I'm skinny. It's Lewis's 21st this month. I'm meant to be paying for this. Planning to get this new kitchen. So I am skin.
You're getting him a kitchen for his 21st. That's a rubbish present.
Like I keep saying, how the other side live, mate.
Yeah, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, Lewis, you're 21. Let's present you with some new cupboards and cabinets, and I shall fetch you a new hob.
This kitchen has been planned for ages, and it's getting on my nerves. So I said, we'll just stay in, take it easy. And then she's got this thing, but there's going to be a local lockdown, so you might as well get the beers in while we can. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So we ended up, it was meant to be 3 o'clock, just for a couple. So we left the house after 3, we came back just before 10. There you go. So, enough said.
I like the way you've once again turned this and blamed your wife for the fact that you've been
I was literally about to say this. And the worst thing is, even though he's trying to spin it on his wife, he was out for enough hours to say, oh, let me just text the boys. Not even a thought. No consideration whatsoever.
It's never going to happen. That's the thing. What I've learned on this. Oh, no, Jesus. Hang on. I feel something that we ought to explain. I was discussing this the other day, and I was discussing it with somebody who listens to the cast and said, where do you meet? And I'm like, right, let's explain this. In the whole time we've been doing the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast, apart from waving at Specs as I drove past him one morning while he was running, I have not seen either of these two face to face. We record in 3 separate locations. So Tony is sat in his palace. Well, he's actually sat in his shed, surrounded by pairs of kickers, Clarks, and some rare vinyl that nobody's ever heard of. Specs, he's in Prescott Palace, just trying to avoid the noise of the children. And I'm sat out the back of a fast food restaurant waiting to throw away the bits that they don't need anymore. But we're never actually in the same room at the same time. So we can't see facial expressions, which is why sometimes when you listen to it, it gets a little bit jumbled. But it's because we're literally just listening and having a conversation. So there's no visual whatsoever. So it would be lovely, but bearing in mind the amount of time we've been doing this, that you'd think that the owner, the creator of the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast, would invite the two fellas that actually make it worth listening to, to join in for a drink at some point. But will it happen? Will it ever?
We've been caught up in strange times, and I told you, when the Chester opens and I have some money, we shall partake in steak and beer and cabbage and bacon.
Can we dissect what he just said? Because he said, when he has some money, we're going down to Chester. Does this mean he's buying the round?
I will pay for the meal. I'll take you out. I'll treat you.
We'll hold you to that.
I'm happy, but he's not forgiven.
But I'm going to break. No, let's look at this slightly more, because to be fair, I haven't got any money either. This isn't about money. You could have some of your homebrew, your poutine or whatever it is you create. Actually, no, forget that. You're forever creating beautiful drinks in the comfort of your own home. We could come and stand in your garden and consume them with you. It's more about the social aspect of spending time together. The thing that most people have learned to appreciate more during lockdown, you appear to have forgotten entirely.
So I came home last night, okay?
Yeah.
And it was on. But the film that you can never turn away from. How great is Snatch? I got near the end. It's such a great film, and I've watched it so many times. It's just like, that's the film you want to come home to, because I didn't want to watch Arsenal win in the FA Cup, because they just annoy me, because they Arsenal fans carrying on like they've actually won the Champions League. But yeah, it was great. Snatch was on, and it's just great. It just reminds me of what a great film it was. The whole premise with the travellers, the whole boxing stuff, the pig farm. Great film.
That was a great era of films, though, wasn't it, as well? I mean, Guy Ritchie produced some absolute monsters during that. There was about 4 or 5 years. And you pretty much knew that the whole Lockstock era. But then there were others as well. When you looked at... what did I watch the other day that I hadn't seen for ages? That's a really annoying time to have a brain fart.
The thing is, he also did that Rock and Roller thing. Which
that's what I watched the other day that I hadn't seen for ages.
I've not seen that.
Yeah, have you not seen it?
It's a mad. I've seen it, but it's a mad film. You either hate it or like it. I don't think there's any in between with it. It's a bit of an odd one. I think he tried to be a bit too arty, and he had everybody involved. So many different stars in it. And again, it's very men. So it's not a bad film, but it kind of. I think he might have rushed ahead of himself in trying to be a bit too cool.
Do you know what? I watched a film the other day that someone recommended to me, and I'd looked at it and deliberately avoided it on Netflix. The Foreigner with Jackie Chan. Now, I imagined it to be a Jackie Chan, but I like a Jackie Chan film, but I don't watch a Jackie Chan film to get into it and, to be absorbed in it. I watch it for a bit of light-hearted comedy-type action. But that incredible. What an incredible film.
Pierce Brosnan in it. That is a great film, actually. I'm a massive Jason Statham fan. I'll watch anything with Jason Statham in it, because it's easy on the head. He's a dude. Love it. With Jackie Chan, he can be a bit of a clown. So I didn't know what to expect. But upon watching it, I was like, yeah, this is all right.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good film. That's all good.
Pretty serious good. Have you seen it, Specs?
Mate, movies, is not my forte, mate. I don't watch movies. So when you're not bagging on, I'm here just kicking it, watching my neighbour clean his car.
Do you not watch movies at all?
Not really.
Is that a deliberate choice? Is it just because you don't enjoy them or because you don't have time?
No, I just don't gravitate towards them whatsoever. I'm a guy, like, if something's on, I'm like, oh, all right, sit down and dodge. But I won't break my neck to be like, oh, this is out. I need to see this.
Have you got a film that you would have to watch if it was on? Have you got a favourite of all time?
No. Yeah, the movie life's not really me. Like, I understand why people kind of like dig it, but I just don't understand. I just don't understand why they kind of like bum it.
So you've never seen The Godfather?
Oh yeah. See, I've seen all these type of movies, innit? But when people speak about, this movie, that movie, the third movie, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm more interested about what people like have for dinner, or, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm interested so in just random stuff.
You spend your time on social media then?
No, I don't, because rate my plates, when I see Rate My Plates, I'm like, yo, but nah, the movie thing's not really me, man. Not really me whatsoever. Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. I've learned something.
I'm sorry to
You haven't disappointed me.
Well, seemingly, no fair dues. It's up to you, because seemingly movies aren't your thing. And very quickly, in a nod back to last week, neither are rappers. I just want to end this right now and say I think we owe the world of hip hop a
you
massive
tried to
apology
link that as well. I'm not having that.
Speeding through that list of names we had last week, I'm just going to make it very clear. We made a massive boo boo.
No. If you're going to explain it properly, please, and we'll be here to then jump
the truth
on this
is,
conversation.
A mistake was made by all of us, including Specs, who will just won't accept what I've said to him for many years, the greatest rapper of all time, is Rakim. Right? Anyway, so Rakim is the greatest rapper. Moving on.
The worst thing is, from that tag, I tagged you boys in, and then, massive shout out to Kinchy again. The conversation that me and you
Kinchy,
briefly jumped
Darren
on.
Darren Kinch is a liar. He plays DMX like it's like his life.
No, I've heard him mention DMX in like some kind of like elite stage before. I've heard it. But I think it's just the way how you word things, T.
I'm not having it. Talking of which, we have this. You saw it on my Instagram. Some of you may have seen it on my Instagram. I know Nathan did, and Nathan actually came to a draw. It's a bit of a tough one. Mariah or Whitney?
I saw this, and is it this thing where there's two photos and it's got a list of their tracks, and then you just pull
which one? And the list of songs isn't a great list.
Okay, so I saw this because there was a few floating around, but I saw that one and I saw Tupac and Biggie one, and things like that.
Tupac
I'm
and Biggie
one, like,
ridiculous.
I'm like, when I see things like that, I'm like, do you know what? I try not to get myself in a situation like that, because even though, like we always discuss, it's like personal preference. When it comes down to it, I would do it, post it up, and then people will be freaking trying to say, oh no, I disagree, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. And I'm like, do it then. So I try not to open myself up to those type of conversations. But every time I look at them, it reminds you about how like sick the catalog is. And yeah, I'm one where I'm like, I'd rather stay out of it. I just watch from afar.
I think the one with Mariah and Whitney was really interesting because technically they are both brilliant. Yeah, it's really hard.
Agreed.
So when you go through the list of songs they've done, I couldn't pick a winner because like I'm Your Baby Tonight is just brilliant. I love it for lots of reasons. Production was by Gayle Sky King and she was at her peak then. And then you go back to even when Mariah does a lazy R&B track, like she did one, is it Glitter? That album she did, it was a real awful film she got involved with. And she did it, it's like a soundtrack for it. And at the time it was slated for being a bit lightweight. But when you listen back to that album, it is full of bangers. But it just kind of got laughed at because she was being a real diva at the time. And she had that persona of being like, yeah, she wanted X amount, the right colour, sweets and stuff or whatever, M&Ms or whatever, you know. But as a singer, the technical performers, it's so hard to because I couldn't imagine Whitney doing singing Vision of Love. And I couldn't imagine Mariah doing an I Will Always Love You, you know. So they've got their individual styles, but they're both, you can't separate them. I think it's just both brilliant.
I mean, the issue I had with a couple of the tracks, thinking about it, I mean, I Will Always Love You is obviously massively overplayed, and it's one that I've heard murdered more times than I care to remember on karaoke.
Oh God, yeah.
Which kind of kills it. In the same vein that I Want to Dance with Somebody is one of those atypical songs you're expected to play at a wedding by Aunt Gladys and everybody else. But when you actually look at the song and go, it is a great track, you know, and it doesn't matter about the fact that I'm sick to death of playing it, and I actively try not to, because I believe there are other Whitney songs you can play, but they will never have that level of popularity. But my problem was with the cover versions, of which that is one. They weren't their tracks originally. That's the problem. And it's whether or not they did a better or worse version than the original. But the one of those that that I love is the Mariah version of I'll Be There with Trailer Ends, which is just unreal.
Yeah. Well, it's his notes on the Christmas song she does. It's him as the main backup.
Yeah.
That's what makes that song so good.
His range is incredible, because when you listen to I'll Be There, you think that it's actually Mariah hitting some of those notes in the song, and it's not. Him. It's Trailer Ends. It's unreal.
And that thing, she was in America, what, 15 weeks, 16 weeks of Boys to Men as well.
One Sweet Day. That was a great song.
She just got all these bangers. You know, I think we all got lost in the whole Mariah was a diva. Then she kind of went all kind of mad. But yeah, it was nice to see, because again, I got caught up in that Chris Brown Usher thing that was talked about, but I can't see it happening because it's just too many egos, and both of them have still got a career that could kind of go on a little.
I just believe if it's not going ahead, it's more in Usher's camp than anywhere else.
I'm not gonna rise to this. I am not gonna rise to the fish you're putting out, the bait you're putting out there.
They're both,
I'm not getting involved. You know, I'm not gonna get involved.
I think they're both. That would be a hell of a battle though, because they are both
be
really, really good.
Yeah, I'm not going to bite.
I feel you should cast one of your TN opinions. I know you have multiple.
Why are you not having an opinion on that?
If you could just give us one, we'd appreciate it.
Because I know what he's trying to direct me into a conversation, so that he can basically. No, I'm not going to go down. Everybody, I think people know where I'm going with this. With between the two of them, I will only say that it's difficult to judge, because Chris has had a longer career, and he's had more albums. He's released more. A lot of people will attach themselves to Usher's confessions. Anyway, I'm moving away from that.
We've had this conversation.
Yes, we have. And I know what you're trying to do.
After last week
when I made you buy your drink.
Yeah, Tony, don't fall for the drawer out. No way.
But I tell you what, I saw all these things this week and it kind of made me realise, and we've kind of had this discussion before, but there is really absolutely no tribes anymore. See, we're talking about Chris Brown, we're talking about Mariah and stuff like that. They're all, go back to those two singers, they're great singers of a generation, not 80s, 90s. And it kind of, I was listening to some stuff last, I was listening to Tame Impala, Australian guy, does some really kind of funky rock stuff. And I just suddenly thought, what is there anymore? Because where I'm trying to get to, I remember you had punk rock. I'm from, obviously, born in the late 60s, so I had the whole 70s thing. So we had punk rock, you had rock fans, you had ska, you had soul boys, okay? So I grew up around guys. I saw a program last week about British jazz funk tunes, and it was great. It was basically looking at the scene of the late 70s coming into the 80s, and the dancers, the music, Beggar and Company, who had a hit with Spandau Ballet. So you had the soul boys, you had the New Romantics, there is no tribes, and I think it's really sad, but we always talk about music and stuff, but what do kids attach themselves to? Because here we are talking about Mariah and Whitney and Chris Brown, and will they be able to do a Versus in a few years time? Because what will they be doing a Versus on? You know, I think it's sad there is no kind of split. Everybody seems a little bit like, I don't know, oh, Primark. It's like Primark people, Primark crowd. I mean,
I know what you mean. I get it.
2008, when we were doing like things like Blend, you had garage nights. Back early 2000s, you had garage nights. Yeah. You were a househead. You got into trance. You got into stuff like, there are no more tramps. And often it was music and fashion. But there is no link between music and fashion. Yeah, and that's what I mean by tribes.
But the world's... No. But there, because there's, it's a different breed now. And that actually comes through. So what I would respectfully call the O Beach crowd. So these are the millennials that are listening to house music and deep house without any understanding of what it is. It's just that Ministry of Sound release an album and they go, that's what I'm going to listen to. Not because it's the music, but because it's got the brand of somewhere they want to be or something they want to be associated with on the cover of the album. So actually it's not about the music and the artists anymore. It's about... summer pool vibes, tropical house.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
And that's, Jesus, that's what it is. So, so actually then your tribes...
That's so depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're the ones that are wearing bikinis and throws and then a pair of high heels fully made up to hell to go and sit by a pool for 5 hours and drink 300-pound bottles of champagne that they can't afford. And then you've got the people that can afford to do that. That's fine. You knock yourselves out. But then you've also got the... Sort of the urban fans who won't go there because it's too cool. They don't want to do that. They want to listen to you know their style of music, and that they. I think there's still a scene for that as it was. And then you've still got the live music fans, and the grunge kids have kind of disappeared a little bit. But there's more. It's more of a live music appreciation thing. And I think that whole industry has changed as well. People will go and sit and watch they'll go and fill a venue like Tap Social and sit and watch a guy play guitar. You know, that is an actual scene. People go to do that now.
But so my thing is this, that punks had a fashion. Rude Boys had a fashion. Mods had a fashion. Soul Boys, white socks, waiters jackets, all that kind of stuff. There was a fashion. To a certain degree, remember that big house boom about 6-7 years ago when everybody was into MK and stuff and they had the top knot on their hair and the logo vests and stuff. Yeah, and that stuff, yeah. That was probably the last fashion that I can think of that was linked to a music. So that's what I mean by tribes. Vary your tribes. I don't see tribes anymore. you see people, you see all these kids hanging around together and people doing their thing. And like you said, the Yo Beach thing is a classic one because that's more about a class. People are trying to buy into a class, I think. They've been out in Ibiza, they've been to a big branded area, they're hearing this background music that sounds quite funky. They're not off our heads, but again, I don't think it's so much to the way they dressed, apart from showing that you've spent money. I think that's where kind of the way I see it. But I just think it's a bit sad, but you know, that there's nothing. I was a rude boy at one point, and I was hanging around with a few mods down the road because rude boys could be in between everything. And yeah, there's just nothing like that. Just a bit, well, sad. That's it. That's all I can say. I'm just a bit saddened by things being so flat. And it's regardless of all this stuff that's going on at the moment. I think it's been like this for a really long time. Since we lost Top of the Pops and shows like that, where people kind of like gather and look at music as well as listen to it. And now it's just washed away. Nothing.
There are no shows like that anymore, are there? I mean, I remember in the 90s, and I know we've mentioned it before, but I used to love watching things like Dance Energy with Normski.
Oh, and, great. I'll get to that in a minute, actually. Like,
and there was there was another program on, I think it was called The Vault. And again, that was just music videos. There was a good one. There was sort of ITV's alternative to Top of the Pops was on a Saturday lunchtime. And I remember recording like MC Duke and stuff from on that when you used to video it. Sorry, Specs. I know we're going back to well before you were born.
And then you had The Word as well.
The Word, yeah, another, yeah, yeah, the, yeah. The Word was brilliant. Terry yeah. Christian and that. No, but it
the
was.
Tube.
It, yeah, and it, all you get now, if you watch a TV show, I mean, it's only really the US TV shows where they have a band to finish it off. Ant and Dec used to do it on their Saturday Night Takeaway, but it would always be a sort of big-name artist maybe that would be performing. There wasn't anything that was that's introducing new people, you know, new acts. But then I suppose there were only so many channels at that point. Now, it's everywhere you turn. Just makes me laugh that MTV doesn't actually play music.
But yeah, again, that's what I was about to break into. So where you had like all those shows that you mentioned, what used to kind of like showcase bands, rappers, singers, or whatever the case is, then you had MTV, and then it broke off, and then you had MTV Base, and then there was things like Channel U, more for like the UK scene when that started to blow.
Specs, I remember when MTV wouldn't play any black artists. I mean, I literally do remember that. Michael Jackson broke them down. That's a true story. It's a madness.
Yeah,
so
no,
MTV,
I've heard that story beforehand. That's correct. Yeah. But it's things like with music, with the videos, it was almost like you'd hear the video. Like if it hit MTV, this was almost like the breakthrough. Like, okay, cool. This song's out or now this song's doing the circuits. And you would have to see the video. Now it's got to the point where, as time's gone on, music videos are very rare. And I don't know if some people take it in the same way, but I find sometimes when I listen to tracks, sometimes the visual, when you add it to it, it makes the tune pop a little bit more. You have a better feel about it, I find. It makes more sense. But there's nowhere for you to go and sit down and say, you know what, let me just pick this channel. You have to all go to YouTube or people are just
yeah,
kind
YouTube.
Of like, yeah,
MTV pushes Catfish more than it does videos. You know
I
mean?
Couldn't believe because that show was still on. I couldn't believe that was still on. I come across it and I was like, Catfish? And I was like, why is it still on? I ended up watching a whole episode which spun my mind. But
mate,
I was like, why is it still on now?
It's a proper rabbit hole of a program. You can get start watching it thinking, oh, it's going to be rubbish. And the next thing you know, you're just completely drawn into it. But actually, you've said something that caught my attention. Because you do see videos, and you sometimes see them on Spotify. So you'll choose a track, and it'll give you this like 30-second clip of this weird kind of graphic.
Yeah, in the background.
Around.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and I always think that's going to be the video, and then it doesn't really turn to anything. It just keeps looping itself. But... and this is a great bridge because I wanted to get to this subject. I was so glad you mentioned about videos because the last great video I saw was actually Boasty with Wiley. What happened to Wiley? What did... Right, first thing. It's not just what he said. It was the follow-up interview on Sky, which was obviously going to be edited.
Right, so this is my point. When it come out, I put a post out. after I saw the interview. And I'm like, just to make it clear, I said, this status or this post isn't about what he said, is about how a man of his stature, who's been in the scene so long and grown with it, got drawn in by big, big Sky News. They were only there to, like, draw him out to the degree where he looked the way he did within that interview. And that's what kind of got on my nerves. And I feel for somebody who claims that he knows this, he knows that and whatever, whether he's just hype, whether he's got mental health, whether he's high as a kite, whatever the situation is, what triggers Wiley, yeah, you don't get drawn out by big, big Sky News. Like, that's above your station. I don't care. Like, he don't do interviews. He don't show up to gigs. He does all this stuff.
This is the point I was going to make out, because obviously he's... I don't know why he did the tweets. These are the infamous tweets, but basically very anti-Semitic. I kind of get where he's coming from, actually, but not about generalizing about the whole Jewish race, for Christ's sake. Yeah, okay. He wanted to dig out his
manager. Yeah.
And a lot of people have said there is kind of this, and I'm not getting, again, not generalizing, there's, quote, a Jewish mafia in certain sections of the music business. There's always been a mafia of some sort in the music business. He's chosen to be managed by these guys. They've built a career for him. He's the one who, like you said, he gets billed on festivals and then starts sulking because Dizzy's like two slots ahead of him. Or, you know, I couldn't believe, like you, that he'd been stupid enough to do that second interview, that interview with this guy.
Yeah, I just feel like when he made those tweets, he had a massive target on his back. Now, what the conversation is now spun into now is, there's been celebrities who said more and worse than what Wiley has.
Totally.
And they've not been kicked off, or it's taken them a while to get kicked off, or all these things here. And
which kind of reinforces his thing about a certain kind of mafia being,
of course,
controlling an agenda. So that's why he's actually had a few people more than a few people actually not defending what he said, but defending the notion of what he's trying to say, which he said so badly, really.
This is what I'm saying. This is how he got drawn out, because these people are trying to paint him in a certain light. Now, if you read between the lines and actually look at what's happening, it makes more sense. He could have dealt with the whole thing differently. We all know that. But you know what he's like. When his head's gone, you gotta let it ride out.
The Stormzy battle was a classic one. Because he thought it was obviously there was some stage management involved in that. But then when Stormzy did the one video where he basically called out Wiley for basically letting his mum down, that's when you thought, this has gone massively off script. This has all got a bit nasty now. And Wiley had no answer. He had no answer. You know, it was whoever programmed this to be kind of a bit of friendly banter, this suddenly went somewhere else. And you kind of got this feeling that it's probably all of Wiley's fault, because it did get a bit narky.
Do you know what's weird about that? Even when those two were going at it, I could understand how it would look, how Wiley sparked it and so forth. But all Wiley tried to do, and I genuinely believe this, even though he said this kind of later on down the line, I genuinely believe this. The art of being a grime MC is like, if you were in the sound system culture, like a lot of it is about clashing. And it is, excuse my language, a dick measuring contest to a degree, especially in those fields, especially when you're clashing. So when Wiley's now going back to the foundation of clashing, where basically there were no limits, you could talk about whatever, however, and put it out, everybody who's not familiar with that side of the culture, they're like, oh! And Stormzy just done it because he's just Stormzy. But my whole thing is, I look at that whole thing, and whether you thought Wiley won or Stormzy won, he's not a clash MC. He's not a clash artist. Where Wiley's come from that.
No, look, as I said, I don't agree with anything he said. It was kind of crazy, but I understood what he was actually trying to say. But why he started generalizing and making this massive deal against, you know, a faith, and I was just like, yeah, this time, mate, you're gonna be on your own. And I saw the second interview, this follow-up interview on Sky, and I just, yeah, I like the guy. You know, when he's on fire, you know, great entertainment. He's released some classics. You know, I can still listen to Wearing My Rolex now and a big smile comes out of my face. I remember we were all killing ourselves to get that track back in the day, you know. And then he dropped something as fun as Boasty last year. And yeah, now he's just become, you know, the media clown. And it's like, mate, you've just left yourself so wide open.
He's got himself, you know, he's got himself to blame for that, 100%. And again, I think I'm where you are with it, T. I really like Wiley and what he's about. But it's almost like, because I like you, you can't do stuff like that, and I'm going to be like, oh, no, it's cool, it's fine.
Yeah, it's because I like you, but I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's Nathan, yeah. What are your thoughts on the Joshua Fury fight? There's a reason I'm asking, because it's become a little bit sticky, I think. So I'm guessing you just want to watch it as a boxing match, yeah?
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough one to call. I'd have always sided with AJ, always sided with AJ. But actually, I've learned to respect Fury's ability a little bit more. I always thought he was a bit of a joke, if I'm honest. And I'm not a big boxing fan, so I'm no authority on this. And you can pull me to pieces for it if you are. But I always found Fury to be a bit of a joker, particularly when he was going through his heavy, you know, he looked like me. And I thought, well, I could be a professional boxer at this gate.
I'm not a fan of him.
And then I saw the AJ Klitschko fight, which was probably one of AJ's finest moments in terms of coming back. And he was just a hell of a fight. And at that point, he went, you know, Klitschko's world class. This guy's world class. Then I watched the TV program on Fury, and I actually got a better understanding for him. And I thought,
when he did a two-part documentary thing,
yeah,
yeah.
And I went,
yeah.
Do you know what? This guy actually, he's done a lot of good, and he's done a lot of good by standing up and speaking about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
He's proved that you can be incredibly out of condition, but with sheer determination, you can become fit. Now, you still looked at him, and you looked at him, and you looked at AJ, and you go, nah, AJ will walk all over him because he's not fit. You know, he's not an athletic-looking guy. But actually, his stamina is incredible. And him looking unfit there is nothing like he looked before. And you watch him, and he goes on his runs, and he's doing hill training and hill running. And he's so regimented, and he's so committed to what he's doing. He is working out. He just doesn't have that natural frame that holds and turns muscular. Now, if that were to happen, he would probably become slower. And he
So you're talking about, so you actually, you've gone exactly where I want you to go, exactly where I wanted you to go, because my take on this fight is completely different. You've talked about the pugilism, the skill, and you're now admiration for Fury. Specs, let me hear your very brief take on what you think of this fight. I'll tell you why I'm going with this. I'm linking this to Lewis Hamilton.
I'm excited about the fight, like a lot of people will be. I just feel that the time it gets to it, it's not gonna have that excitement that that we had beforehand. There's too many hurdles they're throwing in the way. I believe that they're kind of holding it off as much as possible because it is literally a payday for everybody.
Both of them, yeah. Everybody.
You know,
everybody,
and it's
involved.
Almost like,
yeah.
And it's almost like, when that's done, where now do they go?
Oh, mate, totally. Totally.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, heavyweight boxing could be a bit of a mess.
Yeah. So from that, they're trying to hold it back. They're going to throw Dillian White in the mix. They're going to throw Wilder in the mix again.
Wilder, yeah.
There's going to be all these politics and so forth. But when this fight finally happens, when it does, I genuinely believe Fury will knock you out.
Right. Okay. I cannot stand Fury for lots of reasons. But that's why... The reason I brought this discussion up actually isn't about the fighting. It's about what it's become behind the scenes. Because I've been seeing a lot of posts that have suddenly turned this into the great black man against the great white man. And I'm like, when the hell did this become the world of Alan Minter versus... I think it was Hearn back in the day. I've been seeing this for a little while. There's this whole thing. Because Tyson... No, it was... Joshua said about supporting black businesses during the whole Black Lives Matter thing.
Okay, yeah, when he went to that rally. Yeah.
And now all these people are basically have kind of turned on him. I used to be a massive Joshua fan, but if he's not going to support white businesses, then I'm like, I don't think he actually said that, mate. And his boss is white.
Understand, the same people are saying that, the same ones who were saying All Lives Matter. Do you know what I mean?
It's really, really...
They're the same people.
And then I saw this week, obviously, because Hamilton's doing a bit, Lewis Hamilton's Formula One Silverstone this week. And because he's been taking the knee, again, a similar kind of mantra. I used to really like Lewis. He needs to keep his mouth shut. Nobody needs to know about that anymore. And you're like, whoa. This is still a young guy. He's still one of our greatest hopes, British hopes. We've got him. We've got some great English drivers now, George Russell, stuff. And I'm just like, Lando Norris. And it's like race has suddenly overtaken the actual art of the sport. I heard Nathan just describing how beautifully this fight could go. I've heard you just say how you'd like the fight to pan out. And yet behind the scenes, there are going to be a lot of people watching this fight in a completely different way and not about the skill of the boxing. It's almost going to be about kind of hatred. And I was really kind of disheartened when I started seeing this stuff. The stuff about Hamilton, he's been getting it for ages. You know, he doesn't live in this country. It's a disgrace. Formula One drivers have been doing that for years, taking their money elsewhere because they're told to. They are told to go somewhere else, make your dosh because you might die tomorrow. And then when your career's over, you'll have lots of money in the bank and you can do what you like. He's been attacked for not supporting youngsters enough. He's still going to... He wants to get back seventh champions. I don't get why people are so angry. I don't get it. Sorry, Nathan, I interjected.
That's fine. I mean, I just go back to the brief boxing competition... conversation to the boxing competition, the pugilism.
Yeah, Nathan's getting involved.
I'm well in it now. If you did watch that Tyson Fury documentary, AJ rang him and they were
FaceTiming when he's in the pub. The time he got kicked out. And his missus was like, don't come back if you're in the pub.
it was really funny, and he kept going to him, you know, when are we going to fight? So anybody that makes out that these guys hate each other or this is a race thing, all they've got to do is they've got to go back and watch that documentary.
Yeah, but bro, you've got to remember, all that's staged, isn't it?
Exactly.
Staged. There's no hate, but they're not mates, isn't it?
But no, it's all that's like, a definite.
On the documentary, if you just phone AJ, just have some little crap banter. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? You're phoning a mate and you're like, when are we going to fight? Bro, you can do that just as a press conference. You don't talk about anything else. How's the missus?
You lot did that to me at the beginning of this conversation about coming to my house.
No, we were honest about coming to your house. It's you that don't
want us around. That's true, yeah. She was doing it for the tabloids, mate.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Oxford Mail will get hold of that. They'll be like, oh, yeah. Local famous DJ shuns his podcast partners. We're not, well, when I want to say partners, we're probably overinflating our position then, aren't we?
Oh, definitely.
I have to say, I just thought it was really disappointing. I mean, I've been reading stuff about Hamilton for quite a while, and obviously once he started taking the knee at the races, you can see some of the drivers are really uncomfortable. And I'm kind of like, look, if the guys don't want to do it, just don't make them do it. It's pointless. Yeah.
These guys live in a bubble, right? And I'm not going to defend them. So these drivers do. Now, you also, if you look at Formula One as a sport, the number of black team members, mechanics, backroom crew, particularly obviously drivers, is obvious. I was watching one of the practice sessions yesterday, and they had, and I didn't get her name, and I apologise for that, but they had the first ever black female official for Formula One, who has been involved in the sport for 25 years or thereabouts. Formula One fans, apologies if I've got that wrong, but she's been explaining all the way through what she's endured through the 25 years of being in the sport, but loves the sport and is respected within the sport, and today at the British Grand Prix she will once again be a race official for the however many time. But she is, when you say minority, she's almost unique in that setup.
No totally, because This is what Lewis is getting hammered for.
But that's what I'm saying. But stuff like that's good. But at the same time, on the other hand, stuff like that is terrible.
Yeah, because
he's been told
that he's not doing enough to get young black people involved in this. Well, he's got the money now. He should do it. And I kind of get that argument. But ultimately, he's still racing. And while he's racing, he's never going to be in a position to start forming his own team. He's got to basically get that seventh and eighth championship, then quote retire, and then say to himself, you know what? Yeah, I've got my 600, 700 million quid, because that's, I mean, this guy's worth a lot of money. And he could probably say, you know what? Yeah, I could start a team. However, as we now know, I think Mercedes throw in 600 million a year or something. A lot of money goes into their team. So even if he's got 450 million quid in the bank, he's got enough money for 1 year in motor racing. You know what I mean? But I just don't understand the vitriol towards him. He's a British driver. We adored Damon Hill. We adored Jenson Button. We should just be backing our drivers and not getting into this whole thing of his. Even though he wants to raise the BLM imagery, we should still be backing him. I can't believe that people are turning on him simply because he just wants to say how he feels. I can't get my head around it.
But again, it's always this, isn't it? Like, for you to keep your credibility or whatever the case is, you have to just shut your mouth, smile and wave. The moment you start to form an opinion, this is when you get your ass handed to you on a plate. So
yeah, like certain
again,
footballers.
It's like, yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. So I believe that Hamilton wants to do more. I just feel that right now, like you said, right now is not the best time. And when they say, oh, what are you doing to try get youngsters involved? For the fact that he's just smashing it as a black man in this sport is inspiration enough. Like, he shouldn't have to go out there and hold any aspiring young black...
He's the Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods of his sport. You know, he's not. He's just doing his thing. It's just that he happens to be a black guy. And then he's gonna. It kind of drives me mad. But talking of politics, ages ago we spoke about a single that I really liked by Emily Sandé, "More of You." I was saying I really liked it because it was completely different to everything she's ever done. The summer is here, right? The summer is here. Her label still haven't let that track out. Now, if there's there was ever time,
there's got to be more to it, which we don't know, innit? So, even though you're voicing that, cool, but it's not like they are cock blocking her. I don't like to believe there's a reason to it, and there's something she's obviously agreed to. Hence, why it's moving very lame.
She gave an interview recently, and she was quite tight lipped about it. You could sense that she wasn't happy with the direction of the company. They put a lot of money into that last album. It sounds nothing like this track she's doing now. And yeah, she pretty much said that, yeah, she's being held back. They probably just want their money back. They just probably aren't happy with her going into a soulful direction, even though this track is pretty much outstanding. It makes no sense to me. But you'd hold on to something like that, which could actually make back a load of money for you. And at the moment, right now, we are actually full of bangers. But I say that, and we didn't discuss this too much last week about music because we were talking about rappers, but there are two albums that have come out recently that have just absolutely blown me away. Like, I know Nathan always says he doesn't listen to much music because he doesn't find the time. Any spare moment I've had this week in the car, in the office, at home, I've been playing this album called by Kamal Williams, K-A-M-A-A-L Williams. It's called Wuhan. W-U-H-E-N, Wuhan. It's a jazz kind of everything album. Mate, this album, oh my God. Just, oh my God. He's been allowed his musical freedom. Poor old Emily's been pulled back on hers. But this guy, I don't know how old he is, he's quite young. But mate, they launched the Mercury Awards last week, and there's some great albums on there, there's a few duff ones. His was released too late, but it's outstanding. On that list is another great jazz album by a guy called Moses Boyd. You need to get into this guy, Specs. Adrian, you need to find... It's Moses Boyd. Moses, I mean, it's B-O-Y-D. It's called Dark Matter. Now, you know I'm always going to go about drums. He's a drummer, but he's also a fantastic producer. This guy, if these two guys could be in a studio together, I do not know the music, the beautiful music. I don't know if I could manage it. Honestly, those two albums, the only two albums. I've even sidestepped D'Angelo for once just to listen to these two albums. Walking the Dog, whatever. Honestly, please give these albums a listen. I know some people go, don't want to listen to jazz. It's not jazz as you know it. It's another world of music. Kamal Williams. Wuhan, Kamal Williams. And the other one is Dark Matter by Moses Boyd. Because The Mercury list this year is a bit weird. It's a bit lightweight. You've got the usual stuff on it. Laura Marling. Storms is even on it, and I don't think he should have been. And no. So's Dua Lipa. And it's like, really? You know, there's a couple of things that can on that. Everybody's going mad because FKA Twigs was not on it. I find her music a little bit scary. But yeah, it just please, trust me. Nathan, you need to get your hands on Kamal Williams and just play it in the background when you're in the office. Please.
I will do it this afternoon once I'm in the
office. I'm gonna delve in that today.
You know, I know I sound really passionate, but I was walking Dora last week and I just had to keep stopping around Black Belize. People would have gone past me and gone, was that bloke having a piss or something? What's he doing? Did she stop listening to all this music?
What did you do? You like the song so much, you just stopped and turned to a wall.
I just stopped in the street. Dora was looking at me, going, "What are you doing? Where are you going?"
Did you? So, yeah, I'm respects on this one. I'll just get you happily walking around Blackbird Leaves, then you stop. In order for people to think you stopped to have a pee, I'm presuming that you remove something from your trousers or shorts.
But it's because I was just stood there.
Does it make you that happy?
Hunched against the wall, just like this. Oh my god, this amazing arrangement. I just honestly so sad. I couldn't help myself. Another highlight for me this week, the return after all these years when almost that great advert which I use Matt Morrison for, that's fantastic. That's got back, McDonald's just smashed it there. BBC said they lost the tapes to an urban comedy show called The Real McCoy years ago, and then they've gone and released it this week. It's now here on iPlayer. The first two series are very, very dated.
Did you check them out? The first two series or
first
two
series? Yeah, I watched them all because there is a couple of gems amongst the scenes, but then when you get to series three,
yeah, onwards. Oh my word, that's what I remember. That's what I remember from series three onwards. Oh mate.
So many great sketches. The infamous Chris Eubank egg sketch, which is just, that's up there with Del Boy falling through the bar. It is just that kind of comedy classic moment. Just lots of great stuff. And that's also led to the Asian comedy offshoot, which was Goodness Gracious Me. Yeah. There's a couple of the actors from that. But yeah, Richard Blackwood, all the comedians that came through. And of course, my favorite, Felix Dexter, doing his monologues. So I love watching them. And yeah, I'm glad BBC released it. But I couldn't understand why we had this story for years, but they'd lost the tapes. That was all.
You know, I totally forgot about that story until you just mentioned it now. And yeah, I did hear that previously. Yeah.
And did you two, have either of you two made the time to watch I May Destroy You? Please tell me you have.
No.
I honestly don't know what to say to you. And now you're going to get even more vexed at me. Because you know I've got Netflix. And you know I've got Apple TV. Yeah? Well, did I tell you that I've also got Prime?
Oh, I've got
you did
Prime.
You did earlier, but you never spoke about it before. So I assume that you cancelled it. So when I say, once again, how the other side live, please take that into consideration.
In all fairness, I've got Amazon Prime, but it's primarily used for making sure that we can get items delivered to the house within 24 hours. And that is something that's enjoyed by the whole of my wider family using my account. So
I don't even use it for the purpose. I use it just so I can watch just like spin-off shows.
You need to watch on Prime. I'm telling you, Nathan, you of all people, watch The Boys. It's a second series coming, but please watch The Boys. It's a take on superheroes. Right. And the only thing I tell you is that they're superheroes, but they're branded. It is absolutely brilliant. Anybody I've said to watch it to has come back and just said, because I heard about it on Reggie Yates' podcast, and I thought, okay, they kept on talking about it. I thought, okay, I went on holiday last year, downloaded it to my iPad, just couldn't stop watching it. It was like reading a book, but I just couldn't stop watching the show. It is brilliant. Lots of swearing. Some of the characters you'll see from other you'll remember from other shows. One of the worst English accents ever on one of the characters, but it's so bad, it's brilliant. But as a show, as a series, just mind blowing.
Is it as bad an English accent as Dom Cheadle in Ocean's 11?
It's not bad at all. It's pretty much on that scale. But that's what makes it so good. I mean, honestly, he tries to be a Cockney. It's really that bad, but it is. It's a brilliant show. And it's. Do you remember Heroes some years ago? You'd be on BBC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that, but kind of a lot darker.
Right.
And a whole lot funnier. I think the first 5
Is it only on Prime?
It's only on Prime for Mungava. Because they've got the second series coming soon. And they've just signed up for a third series. So it's honestly, please, if you can get your hands on it, the boys.
If anybody out there in Castland has got a bootleg version of this, please send it my way.
Please don't share it, because that would be illegal and we may get told off.
Yes, indeed. We don't do any such thing. Is anybody going on holiday? Any plans to go on holiday? Because I've had to cancel my holiday. My holiday's been cancelled for me, shall I say. Obviously, because of all this restriction stuff. So anybody going away between you two?
Yes.
Nope.
Where are you going to, Nathan?
I'm going to Tenerife. And I'm going to Tenerife. I'm going to Tenerife on the 14th of September. This will be our fourth attempt at the same holiday. They keep moving the goalposts, but I'm persisting. I'm going. We're going. And I'm actually doing a wedding on the 18th of September in Tenerife, as in I'm doing the ceremony. So it is kind
of... Oh, wow. Nice one.
It's kind of important that I'm there. So...
Jesus. But,
you do this, don't you? You do ceremonies, bro.
I did one in Ibiza last year, which was...
I think that's what I saw.
Yeah, that was a first. So that was for... That was for friends of mine, and with the rules in Spain, if you get married in Spain and you're British, unless you have a Spanish residential or were born in Spain, particularly in the Canaries and the Balearics, the legal ceremony still has to be done in the UK. So we got married in Tenerife, but we actually signed the piece of paper in the registry office in Abingdon. About 5 days before we went, and we weren't going to take anybody apart from the witnesses, but we ended up, mums and dads wanted to be involved. So it was like 10 of us, and then we just went for something to eat. And then did the actual ceremony, which is the day that we count as being the day we got married. So friends of mine knew that was the situation. They got to get married in the UK, but they were getting married in Ibiza, and they asked me if I'd do the ceremony. So I wrote their ceremony specifically for them. We did it at Calagrassi Beach, which was just stunning, and it was probably one of the single greatest honours of my life, and really, really good fun. It was just one of the best things I've ever done. And in that wedding party were another couple who are getting married this September, and they approached me and said, "We'd really like you to do our wedding," because that's the
Listen to this guy.
This will sound a little DJ, bit arrogant. Where they
part-time
go,
priest.
you imagine. Dearly beloved,
Nate,
we are gathered.
You can do my wedding.
Okay.
Obviously, I need to see.
I'm talking like I'm getting married, isn't I? Yeah. Sorry to build you up for this shit,
you,
down,
mate. In all fairness, I have genuinely considered becoming a registrar, because they're a little bit straight-laced for me. And I've been to a couple of weddings, and I know this is going to sound awful, I've been to a couple of, I say funerals, but sort of life celebrations, which prior to a cremation, and the guys doing them were actually...
So formal.
But these guys were not. They were a little more relaxed, and they injected a bit of humour, which was perfectly in fitting with both the people that were getting married and also the person that had passed away. And I went, it was so refreshing to go to something where they were like, this is sad, but this person was not a sad person. So let's have some humour, let's have some laughter. And there was humour and laughter. And I looked at it and went, there's a market for this, and this could be an option. But, you know, it's, yeah. So anyway, we're going to go over. I know they've moved.
But how are you going to deal with the when you come back?
With the
days.
Quarantine. So I'm expecting the quarantine to have been lifted by then, purely because the Canary Islands, particularly the south of Tenerife, have no cases and right. haven't had. But because they fall under the Spanish flag, they've decided one rule, and this was there was a petition presented, and the president of the Canary Islands, Torres, he flew over to Spain because they were basically challenging it with the British government, saying in the Balearics and in the Canary Islands, there are no cases.
Yeah,
in the south
right.
of Spain, there are no cases. They're pocketed regions. It's a little bit like going, you can't go to England because Bradford and Leicester have been shut down. It's a bit like that. But what they've done, but with that, it would be like saying you can't go to the Falkland Islands because England's got cases of
exactly.
Of COVID.
That, yeah, that's right.
Because it's 2,500 miles. You know, that's the thing. It's 1,000 miles away from where the cases are over the ocean. So I am confident that it will have been lifted for the Canaries by the time we fly. Bearing in mind it's about 6 weeks away. If it's not, then I'll pay the £100 fine and give somebody else's details at the airport.
Mate, do you know what? We had ours cancelled because I was like, I'm definitely going. And wifey's like, oh, I don't know.
You were quite adamant as well, weren't you, T? Yeah, you was quite adamant.
Yeah. But then when it got cancelled, actually, I was kind of relieved because I did some more research. And a lot of the tapas bars and stuff I'm going to, they're struggling because the things of a tapas bar, it's all quite, it's just, they've got the food out, you do this, you do that. Now they're having to put covers on and get you to sign this and sign that. And you're like, you know what? That's not a holiday. That's like being at school.
Where were you going?
You know, and we're just going to go to Albany Town.
To mainland.
Benidorm, that's all.
Yeah. So don't switch it. Switch it for one of the islands. You'll be all right.
I'll speak to her. Because we've been looking at prices here, specs.
Don't even bother.
Boys, I could not believe. You've got these places that are asking like these awful caravan camps. And you know that they've just put like three, four times, five times the value on
each night.
And you're just like... I understand they want to make their money, and obviously Alex has gone, come on people, let's have a staycation. But don't be rubbing people's noses in it. That's just disgusting. Even September, we thought all the kids would be going back, so it'll be a bit cheaper. No. We're looking at places, some places. We looked at, it was a kind of real nice campsite we could take the dog. And they wanted, for four nights, they wanted £700. And I'm like, mate. I'll just wait till next year. We'll probably just do something local. We might go down to Brighton or something, but that's about it. Just want to say before we kind of wrap things up, I'm looking at my feet. I have been using those skin peeling socks on my feet, and it's not much of a good look. I look like a lizard, a snake. It's all just dropping off in my socks, in my shoes. I don't recommend these things.
I got a question. What are you talking about?
I'm assuming that I know, innit? It's these things that just zip up at the front over your foot, right?
You put these plastic bags over your feet, and they got this kind of weird acid in it. And after about you leave it on for about 90 minutes, and you take them off, and then over about a week or so, the dead skin on your feet falls off.
Why don't you just get a pedicure?
No, I'm going to have to, because basically I've got 53-year-old feet, and they really are. They're more like 73-year-old feet.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean? 53-year-old
It means that I've
feet.
Now
what
got.
What does that mean?
I've now got a vision in my head that I'm never ever going to get rid of, and I've got to go for the rest of the day. With
I'm just like, why don't he just say that he's just got busted feet? Why don't you just say he thinks if he throws his age on it, it's cushion a blow.
Look at that. Look at the state of these. They're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. I'm looking at them now.
Right, so to go back to the first thing we discussed today, or the first thing I pointed out, is we can't look at your feet because we are nowhere near you. We're probably not even in the same postcode.
We're not. I can tell you this. Since I started running, my feet are terrible. Terrible. They are all sorts of nasty. So I'm gonna need to get a pedicure as soon as possible.
Can you get a pedicure now? You have to do that.
I don't know.
I know you can do your nails. The girls are getting their nails done for their hands, but I don't know about all feet.
The uproar. Boris kind of like jumped back in, didn't he? And he said that people can't do their eyelashes.
It's all a bit mad. Yeah, I need to get something done because I need a massage, and I need and before you start having a pop at me about having money, a massage ain't that expensive.
It's two different things. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't
I just wanted you to,
you're
I,
to...
I wanted you to sound like a donut, a cheapskate, but I realised I wanted to sound like a donut because it's a totally different thing I was just trying to pitch up.
Right, boys. Okay, so, right, we're going to wrap things up. Been good to speak to you, and I promise you will be around my house at some point this month.
Even if you invite us, I don't want to come now. It's been too long. I feel we forced it.
I don't want to come because you'll make me look at your feet.
I haven't got a question. You don't want to see these.
Have you not got a killer question?
I haven't got a question of the week. Have you got
you
one?
You only have one job.
Oh dear. Oh.
Wow.
I didn't have one for this week. I can't think of one all the time. I mean, I asked you about yes. Have you started sitting down to wee?
Have I started what?
Oh yeah, did you try it, Adrian? Did you try it?
Try what?
Did you try a sit down wee?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's what you were gonna try. You were gonna try a sit down wee.
Yeah, I haven't. No, I haven't. No, I haven't. I genuinely forgot.
Oh.
It's because it's not normal. So I'm like, if I would have had to go after we completed the cast last time, I would have just done it there and then. Because it was.
Do you know how many people have said to me that they listened to the pod and just gone, you know what? Mate, I'm so glad you said that because it's something I do all the time. And I'm like, yeah.
Hang on, so a lot of people do it.
A lot of people do it, man. Even young people.
It's something you do in the comfort of your own house. I wouldn't go out and do it in a public toilet. It's normally for me when I get up in the middle of the night and I'm still half asleep. It's just safer.
I understand you're trying to sell it, yeah, which is fine.
yeah.
But I need to understand why it's like a common thing, but it's so common people don't speak about it
because I don't think it's perceived as being masculine. I think if you do it, it's like you're emasculating yourself by admitting that you have a sit down wee. It's a little bit like saying you have a bubble bath and put bubbles in. You know, it's like a man will have a bath, but a man will never discuss the fact they have a bath. They don't tend to go, "Oh, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a lovely bath this evening." Like
I feel Tony's the guy. If he has a bath, he has a glitter bomb in there.
I do. Yeah. I do. I'm looking at now. I've got a box of 10 to my left right now in my bedroom, and then in the bed is a bag underneath my AC/DC T-shirt, which is full.
Why would you have them in your bedroom? Surely they're much better off in the bathroom.
Because then get stolen by everybody else in the family. I don't bath that much. Sorry, this is going to be really weird. But we got this bathroom done about 2 years ago, and I said, "What's the point in getting a new bath? We have a bath, but I swear to God, you could put away."
Whose birthday was that for, by the way? Because your room's done up on special occasions.
It was for the dog's third birthday.
Yeah. The dog was three. We had the bathroom done up.
This bath is so big, I fight to get out of it because it hasn't got handles on it, so I have to push myself out through the wall with all the water. So
you
I
are
have to
definitely
use, like,
getting old, aren't you?
Mate, seriously.
It hasn't got handles on it.
I put bath bombs in, and they just nick them all, so I have to hide them. I have to hide my own stuff, but I don't hide them very well because I can see them right now. So anyway, that's enough of that.
I'm sure at some point today I'm going to need to urinate. And when I do, I'll try it sat down, let you guys know.
That'd be great.
I think there's a certain time for it. It's not something you can force.
Oh, is it? Okay, you can't do it.
You can't force it. You'll just go, oh, do you know what? I'm going to sit
that's
down.
That's exactly how...
Yeah. You don't do it all the time. You don't naturally go in and go, oh, you know, I'm a sit-down weir. It's just there are occasions where you go, oh, and it is, for me, it's particularly at night, if I get up and go to the loo in the night, or first thing in the morning, when you're just waking up, I'm like, oh, do you know what, I'll go, and I'm going to sit and wake up, because it's easier.
Okay, see, so it's go. Almost like, if I get back from like bike ride or a jog or whatever, because I'm knackered when I get back, would that be the ideal time?
That would be an acceptable time.
Perfect, yes, indeed. Okay. Right, I'm out of here, you enjoy your weeing, I'll catch up with you boys next week, and have a good day. Okay.
It's always a pleasure.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye. Bye.
Cheers. Hope you enjoyed the pod. We'll be back in the next 10 days or so. And please get involved with our My Middle Name is Trevor Spotify playlist because there's some great tunes on there, new and old, and it would make your life just so much funkier. Thanks a lot.